What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of SWAC Talk, the show where we cover the SWAC inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you, and we're going to wrap up our tour around the SWAC as we talk about the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff Golden Lions, the defending West Division champs. The Lions are a team that I feel are being heavily disrespected right now by most people. Seeing as they won a division, they're not really getting a lot of attention in the division. So some places they'll pick fifth. They pick fifth in the media. I feel like they'll finish third with a possibility to finish higher. I don't think it's impossible for them to finish higher, but third is where I have them ranked. So they're not getting a lot of love from a lot of people, but we're going to talk about the team, what they expect. And what, you know, what their future is going to be. So before we get too deep into it, let's go ahead and throw out the socials as usual. Facebook.com/SWAC Talk, Twitter.com/SWAC Talk 76, Instagram.com/SWAC Talk, and SWAC Talk 76@gmail.com is the email address. Also, you can hit the Cash App if you want to show a little love to the show. $SWAC Talk. Also, check out the YouTube page, SWAC Talk Show. We have a UAPB preview coming up. Also, we have a series that we call SWAC Smoke with DJ and myself. We cover all aspects of the SWAC culture. And we do that on Thursdays. And this Thursday, we actually have a live show coming. So don't forget to check that out. Go ahead and subscribe to the channel and hit the notification bell to be alerted to any content that I upload. So with all that out of the way, Pine Bluff finished 4-1 on the season. They won the West Division, as I said. They actually beat Southern, Grambling, and Prairie View for the first time in a long time. So this was a very successful season for them. They averaged 34 points per game on offense, gave up 27. They ran the ball for 119 yards per game, which is something that I feel that they're going to have to improve on. But the running defense actually allowed 106 yards per game rushing. So they did a good job on defense stopping the run, but their run game can definitely improve. Average 3.4 yards per carry for UAPB, the opponent's 3.2. Passing, UAPB passed the ball for an average of 251 yards per game, 14 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 104 of 183. The opponent's 257.6 yards per game through the air. So the statistics are fairly even between their offense and their defense. The offense passed the ball well. The defense didn't play the pass as well, although they did have 8 interceptions on the season. 5.2 yards per play for UAPB on the season, 370 yards per game. The opponent's 5.1 yards per play, 364 yards per game. Third down conversions, Pine Bluff 33 of 81 for 40%, and they were 30% on fourth downs, 3 of 10. 32% third down for the opponents, 50% on fourth downs, 6 of 12. Pine Bluff fumbled 6 times and lost 5 of them, combined with 6 interceptions, giving them 11 turnovers. The opponents fumbled the ball 10 times and lost 7. Along with the 8 interceptions, giving them 15 turnovers. So Pine Bluff was plus 4 in turnover margin. That's a big factor for their season. They had 21 sacks on the season and only allowed 6. So those are two big statistics that helped them, turnover margin and sacks, along with their third down conversion, to help them win these games, because they played a lot of close games. Other than the Grambling game, the other three games they won, they beat Southern by 3. I think they beat Prairie View by 5, and they beat Valley by 7. So they won some close games. They could have easily went the other way, but they did what they had to do, which is what, you know, a team does when they win a championship. Skylar Perry actually led the team in rushing. He had 216 yards and 3 touchdowns. He averaged 4.2 yards per carry. Mateus Clark, 173 yards, 2.8 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. I mean, obviously the yardage is not, you know, not the factor for me in the spring. It's the yards per carry. 2.8 for him. Omar Allen, 3.6. That's just not good numbers for your starting running backs to do. I mean, it's one thing for your quarterback to lead the team in rushing, but it's another thing for your running back to not be that effective. Perry was the leading passer on the season. He basically threw all the passes on the season except for five passes. So he was 102 of 178, 57% completion, 1,236 yards, 13 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I thought he played probably his worst game in the SWAC Championship, but they still were in a position to win that game. He just, you know, he made a few mistakes in that game that probably hurt them. Receiving, Josh Wilkes, 25 catches, 341 yards, 6 touchdowns. Harry Ballard, 23 catches, 313 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tyrann Ralph, 24 catches, 307 yards, 1 touchdown. DeJuan Miller, 14 catches, 148 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jeremy Brown, 6 catches, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns. Defensively, they had a very aggressive defense. Obviously they were very good against the run. Not as great against the pass, although they did turn the opponents over a lot. Kobe Watts, leading tackler with 36. Isaac Peppers, 33. Sean Steele, 28. Jalen Thigpen, 28. Timon Akins, 25. Solomon Brooks, 19. Xavier Mitchell, 18. Marcus Askew, 17. Kevin Johnson, 16. Tackles for loss. Peppers with 9. Watts, 8. Akins, 5.5. Beard, 4.5, Thigpen 4, Mitchell 4, Smith 4, Newton 3.5, Smith 2.5, Farmer 2.5, Reeves 2. Pine Bluff had 59 tackles for loss on the season and allowed 41. So they definitely did a good job of making plays in the backfield and not allowing the opponents to do the same. 7.5 sacks on the season for Peppers. Mitchell 3, Newton 2.5, Smith 2, Watts 1. Smith 1, Reeves 1, Askew 1. Like I said, Pine Bluff had 21 sacks and allowed 6. And this is like the second or third year that Pine Bluff offensive line didn't allow very many sacks. Their line is very, very good offensively, and they don't really get the recognition, but their offensive line is one of the better offensive lines in the conference. And defensively, they've gotten better every year since 2018. So, you can only continue to expect great things from this team, which is why I find it baffling to believe that they're going to finish fifth in this division. Jalen Thigpen, 5 interceptions on the season. Beard, 1. Steele, 1. And Johnson, 1. Special teams, Josh Sanchez, 38 yards per punt. Zach Pisniska, 3 of 5 on field goals on the season with a long of 42. He also was the kickoff man, averaged 57.7 yards per kick, 7 touchbacks. Returns, Tyrann Ralph is a beast in the return game. 14 punt returns, 209 yards, 1 touchdown. Terrell McCray, 1 return for 47 yards and a touchdown. So Pine Bluff had 2 punt return touchdowns on the season. Ralph, 14 kickoff returns, 38 yards, 380 yards, 27-yard average, and a touchdown. His long was 81. So, 2 special team touchdowns for Ralph. Definitely is a guy you see his name all over the preseason All American, All Conference list as a return man. He's a great return man and he's a really good receiver as well. So, that's definitely a weapon that Pine Bluff has and they definitely aren't shy on using him. Now, Doc Gamble did a really good year, did a really good job as a first-year coach, got the team going. And he's replacing 5 coaches on the staff this year, and so that's something to take a look at. But, I think they're going to continue to be solid. I think he has them heading in the right direction. And, again, I have to keep saying that I really don't understand how this team is picked where they are. They just did a really good job other than penalties, which is something that really kind of hurt them during the season. If you want to look at a statistic that probably stopped them from being an even better team, it would be penalties. On the season, they They average 87 yards per game in penalties, 46 penalties on the season with 436 yards. That's something that they're going to have to clean up. They allow 63 yards of penalties, so that's definitely a factor that they have to clean up, because you're not going to win a lot of games, especially big games, with penalties. But they return nine starters on both sides of the ball, so they, again, that's why I'm going to say this the whole preview. This team has guys coming back. I mean, I'm adamant that I do not understand this prediction at all. This is honestly even worse than Pine Bluff, than Bethune-Cookman's fifth place prediction, because this team returned nine starters on both sides of the ball. Great offensive lineman and Mark Evans. They return receivers like Josh Wilkes, like I said, Tyrann Ralph. Also, why am I blanking on the name that is? Oh my God! Excuse me, I'm blanking on the guy's name. Let me get back to that. But like I said, they're returning some great receivers, and obviously the running game wasn't the best, but you know that there's room for improvement in that. DeJuan Miller is the name I'm totally blanking on. But those are guys, you know, all weapons coming back. Skylar Perry's back at quarterback. They got a great, a really valuable transfer guy in Malik Carter from Pittsburgh. He's an all-purpose type of guy, 5'9", 170. He played defensive back, wide receiver, running back, all-purpose guy. So there's going to definitely be a role for him. He started four games in 2019 at Pittsburgh at running back. One at wide receiver, he ran for 243 yards and 65 carries, 17 catches for 183 yards and two touchdowns, including a winning touchdown at Duke in 2019. So this is a guy that's going to make plays, and they're going to find a spot for him because he's valuable to this team. And I think with the run game being what it is, having him helps that team run the ball even better. I mean, Skylar Perry is a guy that can run the ball, but his best threat is passing. So you want to limit what he does on the ground and allow him to continue to develop in the air. Perry was a second team all-conference preseason guy, along with Noah Hayes at offensive line and Atondre Smith and Tyrann Ralph at receiver. Isaac Peppers is back, 33 tackles on the season, 7.5 sacks. They returned the kicker, as I said before. Jalen Thigpen is another guy coming back in the secondary. This is just a team that has a lot of talent coming back, and they won. You know, they won in a year that they weren't expected to win. And it's just why I'm just this preview is more of me being confused by what's happening than being just talk about what they did, because I just don't see how everybody else sees this team as a fifth place team in the division. And fifth place in the division most likely means at least ninth or tenth place in the conference. So you're telling me that there's some great teams in this conference now. And I'm not saying that they're a division champion, but they're definitely a dark horse contender. And I don't see how this team should be fifth in the division, not fifth overall, you know, or sixth overall. And that's just baffling. I mean, maybe that speaks to the depth of the league right now, but, you know, I just don't see it. Pine Bluff opens up their season at home on September 4th against Lane. This should be a game that they can, you know, come out and do what they have to do, put up some numbers, you know, get some good stops and get them an early W, because they have a very tough game coming up the next week against Central Arkansas. Central Arkansas is obviously a team who left the Southland Conference and moved on to the Atlantic Sun. So they're in a new area. But this is a team that's historically been good. You know, they're probably in, you know, the top team in Arkansas in FCS. Well, it's only two, but they're probably the top FCS program in the state. And this is a game that, you know, you need. You know, like I keep saying, when you play these teams in your state or in your area in the conference, you need to win these games. I mean, you know, obviously you have to be competitive first, but you do need to win these games as best as you can. Central Arkansas went 5-4 on the season, so this is not going to be an easy game. They put up pretty good points. They mainly played in the fall. They didn't play any spring games. They played all their games in the fall of 2020. So they played very competitively. They lost by 10 to UAB, which is an FCS opponent. They lost by 11 to North Dakota State. So that's, you know, again, that's not bad. They lost. They got beat pretty soundly by Arkansas State, but they still, you know, they hung in that game. And they, you know, they just, you know, they competed, and they, this is a tough team. I want to pick Pine Bluff right now, but I'm a little hesitant on picking them to win this game. I think they can put themselves in good position if they can run the ball better. If I see a better run game out of this team, I think they have a better shot, because I think they have a lot of talent, and I think this is going to be a close game, but it's on the road, so I'm going to go with Central Arkansas at this point. They come home on September 23rd on a Thursday night, short week for them, and they face Alcorn. That's a short week coming off of probably what's going to be an emotional type game, and this is a tough matchup for Pine Bluff. You know, Alcorn's first year in the West Division, obviously that bumps them down a slot, but this is a, you know, if you want to get to the championship again, you have to go through teams like this. But I think Alcorn's gonna have a little bit more than Pine Bluff, so I think Alcorn will win this game. But you know, if Alcorn isn't playing great football, then I think Pine Bluff has a better shot in this game than most think. September 30th, another Thursday night, they go to Prairie View. This should be a very entertaining game. This game was really close last year. Prairie View didn't have any real running backs on the roster when they hung in this game, mainly because of their passing attack. Pine Bluff didn't play the pass that great. Prairie View has a great chance in this game, but I think Pine Bluff will win one way or the other. I think they're going to find a way to win. October 9th, after a week off, they go to Alabama State. This should be a very good game. This was a game that was shaping up to be a good game in the spring. It ultimately got canceled after a quarter and a half. Alabama State was winning, but I felt like the tide was starting to turn a little bit. I think Pine Bluff probably could have won that game. That's just a projection on my part, but I'm looking forward to this game because these two teams are two of the underrated teams in the conference. They both have, you know, explosive offenses, although they do things a little different. Defensively, they're both really solid. But I'm leaning to pick Alabama State in this game at home. But I do think Pine Bluff has a good shot. This is probably a toss-up game to me, but I'm going to go with Alabama State. October 16th, they come home and they play Southern for homecoming. Again, a lot of people feel like this is a revenge game for Southern. I don't view it that way. I feel like if you're a team and somebody beats you in your division, you have to win the next time you play. But that's just any game, you know. But a lot of people are, you know, circling this game for Southern. LaDarius Skelton comes back to Pine Bluff. He had a great game when they played in Pine Bluff in 2019. Didn't play well against Pine Bluff in 2021 in the spring. So there's a lot of factors at play in this game. You know, some people feel Pine Bluff was a fluke. Some people feel the Southern win was a fluke. I don't feel like it was a fluke. I just feel like they did what they needed to do to beat Southern that night. And Southern, I think, is going to be a little bit more hungry, but I think this is going to be a competitive game. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Southern's going to win it. Ultimately, it's going to probably come down to a late score, but I think Southern will win. October 23rd. They head to Little Rock to take on Arkansas. That's a money game, SEC matchup, so they'll get that check. October 30th, they go to Houston to take on Texas Southern. Possibility of this game being close, but I think Pine Bluff would beat Texas Southern and keep Texas Southern struggling this season. November 6th, they come home to play Grambling. Grambling, I think, will be better than they were in the spring, but I don't think they'll be good enough to really be a contender in the division. But this could be one of those matchups that decides who finishes third and who finishes fourth or fifth. But I think Pine Bluff will win this game. I think they're going to be a tough team to beat at home. I think they'll compete and win against Grambling. November 13th, they host Pine Bluff. I mean, they host FAMU in Pine Bluff. FAMU should be playing well at this point. I expect, like I said, they added a really great piece to their secondary, so that's going to give Pine Bluff some more trouble. If their quarterback play as well, then that receiver core that FAMU has is going to give Pine Bluff some problems. So I think FAMU will win this game. November 20th, they close out their season at Alabama A&M, rematch of the SWAC championship. I see the matchup going the same way that it went in the spring. I think Pine Bluff will fall to Alabama A&M. Should be an entertaining game, though. I mean, that was a close game. Pine Bluff should have won. They lost some opportunities and let the game get away from them. So I think they'll drop that game to Alabama A&M, which gives them a record of 5-6. This is what people are looking at when they say this team is not going to finish high. I'm looking at a record of 4-7 right now, but I really don't think they're going to finish that bad. But their schedule is not easy. In the SWAC, they do get Alcorn, Southern, FAMU, and you can throw Grambling in the mix at home. Their home schedule is not easy at all. They probably have one of the hardest home schedules other than Southern, but it's not all in a row. They don't have any real gimme games other than the opening game against Lane. That Central Arkansas game is a game that I think can go either way. Right now, I think the Alabama State game could go either way. That can get them to 6 wins. I don't think this team is going to win more than 6 or 7 games, which may not look so good, but, you know, I think the SWAC is deeper this year, and their East Division opponents are probably the top 2 teams in the division, at least in the preseason. So that's not an easy factor. You know, they drop Valley and add FAMU, Alabama A&M, depending on how you want to look at it. So those are 2 games that are probably not going to be wins. Southern and Alcorn are going to be tough. That's not to say that they can't beat any of these teams. I think every team on this schedule that they play, with the exception of Arkansas, Pine Bluff can beat. I think, you know, I don't think they're that far behind the teams in front of them, but sitting here right now on August 22nd, six days before the start of the season, I'm still, you know, have everybody in that good paper mode. So on paper right now, it doesn't look like they're going to win many of those top games, but those games are winnable. And if they can, you know, if they can beat Alcorn to start the conference play off, then this team, I think, can get on a nice little roll. If they can beat Alcorn, then they're probably going to beat Prairie View and Alabama State, which sends them in the Southern at 3-0, which is, you know, is a good shot for them, 3-0 in the conference. Then they'll probably be 4-1 overall, maybe even 5-0. If they come in the Southern game on a good roll, then I really would favor them over Southern at that point. But the schedule is tough. It's tough. It does have a decent little gap in the middle of the season with Texas Southern and Grambling, but those games could go left as well. So I would say their best case scenario would be 7-4. I think the worst case is my prediction of 4-7. I don't think they win less than 4 games. I mean, I really don't even see them winning 4 games, but on paper with my prediction, that's 4-7. And I hate that, man, because I just spent the whole show talking about how this team is getting disrespected, and then I picked them to win 4 games. But the schedule is not easy, but they can navigate it. You know, this is one of the few teams, other than probably the top teams in each division, that I feel that can navigate the schedule. But just sitting here on paper, you know, I just can't pick them to win these games. But as the season goes along, I would not be hesitant in picking Pine Bluff to win any of those games if they're playing well, because I think when they play well and they play clean, they're one of the better teams in the league. So I still do not feel like they're a fifth place West Division team. I don't think they're worse than Grambling or Prairie View. That's just an insult. So with that being said, this is Charles Wells, and I'm signing out. Make sure to catch the YouTube video out today. We're going to talk about Pine Bluff as well. Wednesday, we preview the MEAC SWAC Challenge, because football is in 6 days. So we preview that game. Then, as I said before, on Thursday, we have a live edition of SWAC Smoke. So make sure to check that out. And That's it, man. I'm up out of here, man. Y'all enjoy y'all day.